Do you know how much cash back you're leaving on the table for settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cash back on your groceries for the next 30 years. Just think of all that cash back you can get on those groceries. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today, so the future you will thank you for it. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? A getaway with the kids? A spa day for yourself? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. And don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
On Our Minds is a podcast about the teenage experience, made by teens for teens.
There's a lot on our minds, and talking about it helps.
On Our Minds Season 4 is produced by PBS NewsHour Student Reporting Labs in collaboration with KUOW's Radioactive Youth Media.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Rena Ninen, and this is Ask Lisa, the Psychology of Parenting podcast. It's a podcast to help parents better understand their kids. Dr. Lisa DeMore, a psychologist with 3 decades of experience and the author of 3 New York Times best-selling parenting books, takes your questions. Both of us are moms ourselves, and we're eager to hear from you. So send us your questions to Ask Lisa at drlisademore.com. And you can join our community by following us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. The handle is Ask Lisa Podcast. And also subscribe to our brand new YouTube channel, Ask Lisa Podcast. Episode 166, My Kid is Being Bullied. What Should I Do? There is a gift my daughter got me for Christmas that has transformed her home. Do you see? Can you read it? It says,
oh, that's so funny.
Mom's last nerve.
It's a candle. And what does it say at the bottom? My 53-year-old eyes are not working well today.
Oh, look. It's on fire. And this awesome. Is their subtle way when I lose it and I'm like nagging and annoying and just in a bad mood. She doesn't say a word. She goes over. She picks out the candle. She lights it. And she leaves it on the island butcher block.
Because our kids are geniuses. They are.
You don't have to say a word to me.
No.
And it also smells of jasmine, which I love.
Oh, that's very
nice. So it's like the scent calms me down. It's like that is like a master parenting move that I wish I could have done the reverse for my
child. So wait, she gave it to you as a gift?
It was a Christmas gift. And I said, how did you even think? She Googled something like heartwarming Christmas gift for mom. And that's how she came across it. She's like, this is perfect.
It's funny. It's apt. It's clever. It smells good. And also, Rena, it really gets to the painful truth that our kids know us better than we will ever know ourselves. And especially when they get to be teenagers. Man, oh man.
So right. Gosh, yeah. That's so good. Well, anyway, for those of you who haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel so you can see this in full video because it's a must. And it has transformed our relationship.
I see myself getting 20 of these next year.
I'm going to send you one. Oh, well, you know, it's nice when your kids are in a good place and you guys can laugh about it, but it's hard when your kids are struggling, especially with relationships peer-to-peer. And we decided to tackle the topic of bullying because that's something that you see a lot, right, Lisa?
Yeah, more and more, unfortunately. More and more.
I want to read you this great letter we got. It says, Dear Dr. Lisa, I found your advice on your podcast so helpful, and I'm hoping you can help me navigate this issue my daughter is facing. My daughter is 12 and in the 7th grade. She dreads taking the bus home from school because 3 boys on the bus, who are a year older, sometimes pick on her, saying mean things about her appearance. It seems to happen on and off, and mostly when one of the 3 boys was present. We've talked about how she can stand up for herself, and apparently, the boys have picked on some of her friends too, but they were able to stand up for themselves more effectively, so now they just pick on her. She's asked if I can pick her up from school in the afternoons, as they only pick on her during the bus ride home, not to school. She's asked me not to involve the school and believes the bus driver wouldn't do anything to help. I've worked hard to avoid being a helicopter parent and to teach her how to advocate for herself. But in this case, I'm wondering whether I should remove her from the situation since it's unhealthy. I work from home and I could pick her up from school, but I don't want to set a precedent where I swoop in to the rescue. Thanks in advance for your help. Oh my goodness, there's so many good things here. And I love that this parent is acknowledging, I don't want to be that helicopter parent, but I feel like maybe this is a one-off where I actually do need to take more action than is needed.
Yeah, this is, there might be some action in order here. I agree.
So I want to ask you, how would you define what is bullying and conflict there?
Yeah, this is a really important place to start. The term bullying gets used a lot. It gets used to describe things that we would not technically say are bullying, though I do think this is bullying. So when we walk up to the question of what is bullying, the way that psychologists define it, and it matters to us to be very, very specific about this, is that bullying is when a kid is targeted by another kid or a group of kids and is unable to defend themselves. So that we've got that here. And helpfully, the letter also articulates there are other kids who can defend themselves, and then there's her kid who is unable to defend herself and is on the receiving end in an ongoing way. Everything else we call conflict. So the other kids who are defending themselves, like they're having a conflict with these boys on the bus, but they're able to stand up for themselves and make it stop. Kids not getting along at school, or one kid's given it on Monday, the other kid's given it on Tuesday, like that's conflict. Mm-hmm. This is bullying, and actually a very clean picture of it.
Mm. It's interesting. She says this happens on the way back home, not going to school. I'm curious what you think about that. And also, Lisa, why do kids do this? Why do they bully?
Yeah. Actually, Raina, I don't quite know what to make of the one-way situation here. And it may be maybe different bus drivers. Who knows? It may be that in the morning, you know, I think teenagers, a lot of them do this. Like they're still waking up. They put on their headphones. They keep to themselves on the bus, you know, but having had the fullness of the day, they're all riled up and they're interacting, right? Who knows what the dynamic is? But it's a really interesting question. In terms of the why, there's no one reason that describes all situations, but there are some things we see that explain why kids bully. Sometimes kids bully because it's how they're treated elsewhere. They're being mistreated either at home or in another relationship. They are acquainted with a painful dynamic of receiving mistreatment. And they can start to sort of construct this idea of like, well, there's one of two spots you stand in. You're either the bully, you're either giving it or getting it, right? And so they may be getting it elsewhere. And so then given the opportunity, they're like, I'm going to give it. Like, I don't want to be on the receiving end. I want to be on the giving end, right? So that's one explanation. Sometimes we see kids who get drunk on the social power of it, Raina. I've seen this. It's so weird and disheartening. Not all kids are willing to be mean. Most kids are not willing to be mean. And every once in a while, you'll come across a kid who either is willing to be mean or is willing to experiment with being mean. And they do it. And what they quickly discover, especially seventh, eighth grade, is like suddenly like everyone wants to be on your good side. No one wants to give you a hard time, right? Because you've basically just demonstrated like, I'll be mean. Like, and so.
So it's some sort of weird social power is what you're saying.
Yeah. They just sort of get like drunk on power. And there was a funny and perfect New Yorker cartoon a million years ago. And it's like these two, I think it was like the steps of Congress, two male Congress people walking up the steps holding their briefcases. And one says to the other, well, how do you know you have power if you don't abuse it? And I remember looking at it and being like, yeah, that's a seventh grade right there, right? I mean, kids
That's funny. That's funny.
Right? So I think there are kids who are like, check it out. Like if I mean, all of a sudden everyone like cuts me a wide berth and wants to be my friend because they don't want to be a potential target. Mm-hmm. Okay, then there's this other reason, and this is like the dumbest reason, Raina, but it's a reason. Sometimes kids bully because they're bored. They're bored.
But it's so painful. Like it's just so mean. Horrible.
Yeah.
And just out of boredom, that's why they do it.
Yeah. Like you know what? Nothing going on. Why don't we stir something up and start it? Right. Mm-hmm. So they're all really miserable reasons. That one, I'm like, oh, give them their phones. Right. I mean, like, whatever, yeah. Like keep them from being bored. So that's why those are some of the reasons we see.
Are you surprised when apparently there's one kid, specific kid present, it gets worse?
No, this is fascinating. So it's interesting. Kids, the dynamics in groups of kids are very, can easily be swayed by one strong personality. So the way that this comes up in my work is that people will say to me, what do you think about, you know, fill in the blank school? Like we're looking at fill in the blank school for my, you know, eighth grader. And what I've learned over years is if they're asking me sort of about the social universe at that school, I usually can't comment on it unless I happen to know a whole lot about that dynamic in that school in that year of the school. Mm-hmm. So you can have a school where like, and this schools will tell you this all the time, like, you know, fifth, sixth and eighth grade are, you know, or like fifth, sixth and seventh grade, like easygoing kids, people get along well, but like, oh my God, there's a really, really, you know, intense bunch in the eighth grade who has warped the whole dynamic of the entire class, right? Or even a single intense personality that is shaping the dynamic of the interactions that happen in the whole class. So I see it all the time that there can be kids who just have strong personalities, forceful personalities, and they honestly, warp is probably the best word. They sort of warp, you know, all that happens around them with their big personalities.
I want to go back to this kid because I think this is what every parent worries about and we don't know. What's the impact of bullying on your child?
Not good, Rena. Not good. We've studied this and we've looked at it in short term and we've looked at it in long term. And true bullying, so not, you know, giving it, getting it, conflict, but true bullying, you know, it makes kids anxious. It makes kids depressed. It can cause what we call somatic symptoms where they have stomach aches or, you know, headaches. Mm. That can be in the immediate term. When we look down the line, we see more substance use. We see more depression. We see more, you know, like really lasting things. And this doesn't mean that every kid who's bullied is, you know, going to suffer from all of these things. But this is to say, we don't mess with this, right? We take bullying very seriously. And Rena, there was something you said last week about, we were talking about romances and breakups, about like, even in middle age, having like this lasting, like feeling from those early injuries or those early heartbreaks. This is, I think, especially true in bullying, that people who were bullied in middle school or elementary school or any point in their life, you know, they can be 40, 50 years old. And when they think about it, like, it's like they're back there and it is exquisitely painful. Like, bullying can really, really leave a very lasting injury in people.
That is really fascinating because I want to dig in deeper into that. Lisa, I want to ask you also what the parents should do to get involved because it's sounding like action needs, this isn't something you wait on. And see how it plays out. We're going to take a quick break. And on the other side, Lisa, we're going to talk about solutions that can help parents who have kids going through bullying. We'll be right back. You're listening to Ask Lisa, The Psychology of Parenting. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. So you can make sure you're beating inflation no matter what you're purchasing. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. Think about what that could cover. An entire shopping trip, a flight that you've been eyeing, or even a fancy dinner out. Other apps give you points that really don't amount to much. With Ibotta, just add your offers in the app, upload your receipt, and then you get real cash that you can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or even gift cards. Right now, Ibotta is offering our Ask Lisa listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code ASKLISA when you register. Just go to the Apple Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back. Use the code ASKLISA. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or Apple Store app. And use the code ASKLISA. Well, your kids grow up fast, but that doesn't mean they have to outgrow their favorite items after just a few months of wearing. Posh Peanut gets it, which is why they make super stretchy and colorful clothes that seem to grow with your child. so you're getting longer wear out of those adorable styles. My cousin Amy has two little boys that are both under two, and she loves getting them dressed up in the same cute outfits. They've got all your favorite brands from Hot Wheels, Disney, Hello Kitty, even Barbie. Their high-quality fabric is 4 times stretchier than cotton, so it actually grows with your child. It's breathable, also chemical-free, which means they're delicate on your baby's sensitive skin. Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off with promo code ASKLISA. Go to poshpeanut.com/ASKLISA and use promo code ASKLISA for 20% off your first order. That's poshpeanut.com/ASKLISA, promo code ASKLISA. It's my new favorite gift to give to new moms and also moms on the go. Do you know how much cash back you're leaving on the table for settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cash back on your groceries for the next 30 years. Just think of all that cash back you can get on those groceries. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today, so the future you will thank you for it. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? A getaway with the kids? A spa day for yourself? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. And don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at NerdWallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Welcome back to Ask Lisa, the Psychology of Parenting. We're talking about bullying. And in this case, the letter writer, parent writes us that this bullying is happening on the bus. I want to ask you, Lisa, what are solutions that parents can do? But first, I want to ask you, should the parent reach out to the bus driver? Because now there are like video, you know, there's video on buses. I also cannot see a situation where the bus driver just doesn't want to get involved and is just doing their job and doesn't want to get involved. What do you think? Should the parents write a letter and hand it to the bus driver?
Maybe. I think the first step is really digging into what the kids' concerns are about why the parent doesn't want the bus driver to know, right? That again, our kids have tons of data, right? This kid's ridden the bus a lot. She's observed this bus driver a lot. Like, she knows a lot of things. So I would really find out what the issue is. And you know, and it may be like the kid can say, the bus driver's laughing when they're doing it, right? I mean, like, there's details and data here to be had that would inform the next step. If the kid's like, I just feel embarrassed and I don't want the adult to know, right? I mean, there's a lot of shame that gets caught up with bullying. Kids feel very ashamed. And, you know, and these boys are making fun of her appearance. I mean, it's like basically a shame-a-thon here anyway. Mm-hmm. The thing that all adults need to know is that all 50 states have anti-bullying laws that require schools to intervene, to investigate and intervene in bullying. And that covers the school building, the school buses, and school activities.
I did not know that all 50 states have bullying laws where it sounds like the burden is on the schools.
Yes.
To nip this in the bud.
Yeah, they are not allowed to sleep on this if they've been informed. You know, they can't do something about something they don't know about. And it extends to buses and it extends to school activities maybe not happening during the school day. Mm. So the parent has the law on their side here. And so if the bus driver turns out to be more approachable, you know, and there's a reason, I think start with the bus driver and just say, I'm hearing this. Are you seeing this? What's going on? Right. And get the bus driver activated. If there's reason to doubt that the bus driver is going to be a useful player in this, or if it feels like that could make it worse, right? And this is really critical around bullying. Mm-hmm. How it gets handled is really important. And so the well-meaning bus driver could act, you know, could get involved in a way that actually the boys take it underground, it gets uglier, right? I mean, and the kid may have a sense that like, yeah, the bus driver may mean well, and it's still going to get worse.
Yeah. I mean, so, can you imagine this scenario playing out? Yeah. Like, if you're in middle school and your mom walks on the bus to talk to the bus driver, or even hand the bus driver a note, like, that is not something that happens. Everyone is on alert now. And now you've been flagged that clearly the mom got in touch with the bus driver.
Yeah. So exactly. Right. So that's why I'm saying, like, start with what the kids' reservations are. Mm-hmm. Now, it may well be that the reservations are severe and exactly what you're describing, where the kid's like, oh my gosh, if you want to make this worse for me, the first thing you can do is stand at the bus stop with me and take it up with the bus driver.
But what do you do then, Lisa, when the child is telling you, I don't want you to call the school? Yeah. You just said it. The school can't take action if they don't know, but the kid is so terrified, it's going to get worse.
Okay. So that what I would honestly have a parent do is either buy or check out from the library this ancient book called Bullying at School.
That's the name of it?
Bullying that's the name of the school. Book. Okay. It's by Dan Olweus, Olweus. This is a guy who devoted his entire career to studying bullying, did brilliant work on it. And what he actually laid out was exactly what schools need to do to not make things worse. And so I would, as a parent, if this were my kid, I would get myself informed about that. I would, you know, there's also websites. If you just search his name, this stuff will come up. And then I would reach out to the school and say, I need to alert you to a bullying situation. Tell me your procedures. And what you want to hear from them is that they have also read this book and they are also totally up to date on the ways in which we intervene in a way that does not make it worse, actually makes it better. And if they're like, oh yeah, we bring the kids in, we have them all talk to each other, we do a peace circle. Okay, that is not what is recommended in the bullying literature. That can be great, 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 great for kids who are in conflict, but not for bullying. You deal with each kid separately. You make sure there's no possibility of recriminations. Like, I mean, we know what to do. It's complex and it's smart. So if I were the parent in the situation, that would be my first stop, would be informing myself about that.
Informing yourself about that. Okay. So if a school does get involved, because ultimately you're going to have to report this, right, to get this dealt with, what are the right ways that you've seen schools handle bullying?
So they should be very, very careful. They should probably collect a bunch of data quietly, get a look at the situation. Often, and this is really important for us to remember, schools are working with a ton of their own information. Right. As soon as a parent calls and says, you know, my kid is in the seventh grade and is on the receiving end of some, you know, bullying, they may not even name the kid they're thinking of. And the school's like,
you know, they already have other touch points on this.
Yeah. So
you're just another one.
You're working again. And this is something, Rena, as we're talking it through, I realize is such an important thing for us to zoom out and name, which is these are very context heavy situations where the parent is operating with very little information but could get more information. So what I mean is, like, the kid who's like, don't tell the bus driver, I think as a parent, he'd be like, but the bus driver needs to know. No, that kid has a ton of contextual information. Find out what the reservations are. Use that data. And then same with the school. Like, you might think the school, like, doesn't care, doesn't know. And then you call and you're like, my kid and, you know, I need to know how you're going to handle this. And they say, yes, we are fully trained in how to handle bullying situations. And we are so glad you called. And, you know, we are actually working with a great deal of information. I mean, there's a whole, this is wildly detailed. And the more that we assume best intentions in the people who were in charge and give them a chance to catch up to the information if we have not given it to them, and trust that there actually is often a lot more that we don't know, that helps these situations, which are so hard and so challenging, go better. Not well, but better.
Right. So on that topic of there are just touch points we don't know, what if the child insists, I don't want you talking to the bus driver, and I definitely don't want you calling the school, and is freaked out about that thought?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, you can't let your kid get bullied. Like, you just can't. So we've talked in the past, and I think this is a good place to bring it back around, about this idea of half steps. So the parent could call a trusted person at the school and say, I'm not prepared to give you any more information than this, but when you hear about situations where kids are being bullied and truly bullied, right? I mean, the parent should say, like, not conflict, like one-way victimization. What are the steps in your school? How do you handle it? What would happen next? Right. Get more information and then say, thank you so much, right? And you could even try to make it an anonymous phone call, right? Like, you could have a friend call, right? Like, you know, just to keep it away from your kid. You know, like, say, look, I'm calling for a friend who doesn't want her kid involved yet. Like, this is the information I need. I mean, schools should be able to talk with you about their procedures. Then the parent can go back and sit with the kid and say, okay, I've looked into this in a way that this cannot be attached to you. Here's how this would unfold. Here's what would happen. And again, like, work the process, take it step by step, collect information, check that the school knows how to handle it well, help the school handle it well if they are still coming along in their procedures. Involve the kid. Rena, I think about so often in my school consulting work when I was deep in it, one of my favorite things I would do with the teenagers is I would say to them, you can come to me for a consultation about a situation, where I would say, you can tell me everything you're worried about a peer. Usually they're always worried about their friends. They're so good about their friends. And I'd say, you don't have to tell me the name, and you tell me everything, and I will tell you exactly what we would do in response to that. And then you can decide if you want to tell me the name.
So you're giving them an opportunity to sort of run through the scenario without having to actually run through the scenario.
Whole deal, right? Like, and so they'd be like, okay, here's what's happening. And they would give me, you know, florid detail on what was happening. And I'd say, okay, here's what I would do. I would have you go back to the friend, or I would call the folks, you know, like, I would just lay it out. And they'd be, I never had a kid say, okay, never mind, I'm not telling you the name, right? Mm-hmm. They just need to know what's going to happen.
Yeah. When you deal with this type of a situation, and in the past when we've talked about interactions with kids and whether you reach out to the parent, one thing you've said that's always surprised me is your relationship with your kid is worth so much more than what intel you might have to give a parent or something like that. But do you think in this situation it is worth going directly to the parent to nip this in the bud?
The parent of the kids who are doing it?
The kid who's bullying, yeah.
I have yet to come across a situation, Rena, where I think it's a great idea to start with a call to the other parent, especially if that other parent is the parent of a kid who you think is mistreating your kid.
Even if you might have a relationship with that parent or know that parent, you still think it's not a good idea.
I mean, I will defer to people's, again, broader contextual knowledge, right?
I
mean,
yeah, I know. There's not a one-size-fits-all on this, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But generally, you're saying if you don't know the parent, it's
our job to defend our kids,
yeah,
right? So, yeah. I mean, I think the moonshot outcome, right, is you call and you say, look, your kid's harassing my kid on the bus, and the parent says, I'm so glad you called, right? I mean, like, you're not – like, they're going to say, like, how do you know this? Or what? Mm-hmm. My kid says this about your kid. I mean, it just, it tends to not make it better. And it often, I think a lot of times schools are like, oh man, why'd you do that? Right.
When the parent reaches out to the other parent.
Yeah. Schools would much rather, especially if it's on a school property situation where they are required to handle it. They're like, please do not mix it up in the community. Bring it to us.
Especially if it's a small community and everybody knows everybody too. Yeah. But that's interesting because it also, I think, could you prevent other bullying by going directly to the school so they can nip it in the bud and it's on the record? It's almost like I feel as a parent now, I have a moral obligation to tell the school because who knows who else is involved in the bullying?
That's exactly right, actually. Schools need parent allies who treat schools as the earnest and usually almost always upright partners that schools are. It's hard for a school when people come at them already angry for what they haven't done about something they do not know about. So I think that there are, you know, it's a huge gift to a school if a parent calls and says, listen, I think you must not know this, and I need your help trying to sort this out. How do you typically handle these situations? What do you need from us?
Mm-hmm. Last week we talked about romances and shielding your child from heartbreak, which you very beautifully pointed out that you just cannot shield your child from heartbreak. Is there anything, though, that we as parents can do that could help prevent bullying?
Yes. Thank goodness, Rena, yes. When we look at the research on bullying, the number one form of intervention is actually activating bystanders. It's the kids who are around when it's happening that have the most power to do something about it.
But they're too scared, Lisa. I mean, no one's going to stand up when the bully, you know, you just open yourself up, right? I don't know any kid who would do that, right?
Most kids won't. So here's what we say to our kids. We say to all of our children, you are not allowed to bully, obviously. And if you witness bullying, you must do one of three things. You must tell the bully to knock it off, which most kids are like, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. You must take the kid who's being bullied under your wing, right? Just say, come sit by us, come over here. Or you got to let an adult know. Now, so if we go back to the bus scenario, it's not just four kids on this bus. There's a lot of kids on this bus, and there's a lot of kids who are watching this go down. So if all of those kids, or at least one of those kids, had the instruction that you have to do one of these three things, it's really different if another kid is like, hey, bus driver, like,
right,
what are you doing, right?
Right, right.
So, because then it's not the, you know, victim squealing and all, like, you know, all the stuff that can expose a kid. So if we want to address bullying, it actually is a community-wide thing with a very clear expectation for every single person's child that they have to do at least one of those three things. They don't have to do more than one of those three things, but they can't do nothing.
Having that conversation, walking them through these three options, telling them in advance, you are saying to me, can really make a difference.
Absolutely, right? And this is why I love that we have researched this, right? If you want to disrupt bullying, you activate bystanders. Full stop. We know that.
That's great. Is there anything else, Lisa, that you feel we should keep in mind when it comes to bullying that parents, you know, because it's so emotional for parents and you're seeing your kids suffer, to stay clear-minded and focus and get to the goals you want to in resolving this and having it end? What do you see over your years of experience that you think are like, don't do this, but we should keep this in mind?
This, on this letter, I don't feel this way, but as a general rule, kids are not always great at owning their part in things. I have sat with kids clinically who are like, want to show me how badly they're being treated. And they show me their phone and a text thread and they're pointing to like the mean kid things that other kids said. And I'm like, but wait, is this you here? Like, and they're like, what they said is like super mean. And they're like, yeah. But look what they said to me. And I'm like, whoa. Yeah. Like, so I think when kids are like, oh, I'm being mistreated, somehow this letter, I'm like, I think it is what it is. But I think that we as parents need to be open to the possibility that our kid is telling us part of the story or only sees part of the story. So this is, again, why you don't want to go in, you know, loud and heavy. You want to ask questions because you don't always know what's going on.
And so often you see your child suffering and going through it and you take that one side of the story because it makes sense.
Yep.
It makes total sense. Great. Well, I just feel like I have tangible things to deal with. And even if your child isn't going through bullying, like this is, everyone's got a part here. Everyone's got a part, whether
you're
going
through
it or not.
There's things you can do. That's Everybody great. Can do something.
I love that. I absolutely love that. So what do you have for us, Lisa, for parenting to go?
I think the most important thing in situations like this is to remember that schools are our partners and they want to be our partners. And I will tell you, it is really hard to be an educator and it was very hard through the pandemic. It's still hard in many ways. And the problem for schools is that they're trying to serve the needs of many, many families, and they can't always meet everyone's need in the right way at the right time. But if we approach them as partners and give them a chance to do what's right, they do. If we come in already frustrated or already assuming that they don't have our kids' best interests at heart, they will often still do the right thing, but we've unwittingly made it harder for them.
So sometimes letting the process run itself and having faith in the institution, giving that a shot first.
Giving it a shot. Mm-hmm. And then schools make mistakes and schools mess things up, like no question. But I think it's important to give schools every opportunity to handle things well.
And so often we just feel enraged and that it's not enough and it's easy to go guns charging right at the school. It's a great reminder, Lisa. It's a great reminder. And next week, we're going to talk about marijuana, how it's legal in so many states, and how do you talk about it with your teen? I'll see you next week.
I'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Ask Lisa podcast so you get the episodes just as soon as they drop. And send us your questions to AskLisa at drlisademore.com. And now a word from our lawyers. The advice provided on this podcast does not constitute or serve as a substitute for professional psychological treatment, therapy, or other types of professional advice or intervention. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional.
If you're looking for additional resources, check out Lisa's website at drlisademore.com. We'll see you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.